This is The Art of the Interview with Stephen Adams. Filmmaker Mike Frost combines horror with comedy in an unparalleled combination. He brings a wit, a visual wit, that I think is unparalleled in filmmaking today. His shorts are bold, they're witty, they're unexpected and disturbing, and really, on a certain level, almost defy description. They are combinations of collage and montage of older films reimagined into startling new narratives. I think it's almost best to let this filmmaker speak for himself. Without further ado, Mike Frost.
So what I did for my new movie is I just cut a trailer for it, and I got all the actors to say the title of the movie, The Harvey Girl from Shanghai. So we repeat the hell out of the title about 20 times in the trailer, so, you know, so I can just get it right. It's The Harvey Girl from Shanghai.
So the three evil stories.
You mother.
Beep.
Well, we are recording, so we can say whatever we want, though.
You can swear. Curse.
I'm chased. But please... Please swear.
Do not be.
Oh, I don't want to.
Yeah, we're starting. We've already started.
Oh, hello.
So,
my favorite color is
with
red.
Mr. Michael Frost, and we're talking about his films, his influences, his life, his story.
Oh, Jesus.
First
it
off,
won't be that serious at all.
I just want to say that he's got two films playing at the film festival, and he's the only. There's only one other filmmaker that has two films in the fest, and that's Kevin Jerome Everson, the great Kevin Jerome Everson, and Mike is the only other one who has both. Never Trust a Woman and Kisei. Never Trust a Woman's part of the shorts program, one or three. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Three, I think.
Three. That'd be on Wednesday. Oh, it's the same. That's right.
No, it's on Friday night. It's on that Friday. Isn't it on that Friday
night? It's
on
Friday night.
I don't know. Maybe.
No, it's Wednesday. You know why?
Why?
Because you play in front of the feature, Kisei, with Immaculate Conception and Little Dizzle, and then your shorts plays that night. So you're a busy man that day.
Oh, God.
All in one day.
You know, if you got somebody at the festival, you might as well make good use of their presence. Why not?
You know.
Why not?
And let me just say, just officially, that those two movies are the two most fucked up movies we're playing at this film festival this year.
Oh, thanks, Daddy.
I know. I saw his films. I was like, I don't know if I want to meet this guy.
I know. I'm afraid. You know, and I edited a movie for a friend of mine. His name's Dan Faltz. He made a short film based on a Dennis Cooper novel. For those of you who don't know Dennis Cooper, he's this just really dark gay novelist, and is a 35-minute short film called Weak Species, and it starts out almost like a gay John Hughes movie gag, but then about 20 sorry, I'm just gay cinema.
The late great John Hughes,
except for Fassbender. I mean, you know, modern gay cinema. Anyhow, 20 minutes into the film, and this film's great, by the way, something really shocking happens. And two people, the paramedics had to come and get two people because they passed out during the screening. This played at Frameline over 2 months ago, and the same thing happened. Somebody almost had a cardiac during the film. And it's just, I don't know.
What's the title of this film, in case we want to?
Weak Species. Yes. And there's a website for that, www.weakspeciesthemovie.com.
What's the fucking scene? I want to know that scene.
No, I can't. I can't tell. I'll give you a copy of the movie.
Ooh, yeah. Let him have a copy of the movie.
Yeah, I want to watch that right now.
Don't spoil it.
I want to have a heart attack right now.
It's evil.
Right.
But yeah, like I remember, you know, after the scene, when it played at Outfest a couple weeks ago, I had to go take a leak, and I went out to the bathroom, and there's this little queen on the back going, oh my God, I can't believe it. And they had to call the paramedics. And all I could think was, is like, Christ, that's better than a standing ovation.
That
you
is
know?
Way better.
Yeah. I'll knock you on your
complacent
ass.
Maybe somebody can actually, you know, step into the next realm at the next screening. We've had three fatalities. No, and we also have programmer extraordinaire Roger Mayer as a co-host.
Hello.
How
He's
you doing?
Really great, by the way.
So, back to your films, because that was a hell of a build-up. Let's talk about your films and your background. You said you grew up next to a movie theater.
Oh, well, I was born in Seville, Spain, and I spent the first year of my life at my grandmother's house, and next door to my grandmother's house, there was this giant movie palace called El Cine Veque, and I used to go back to Spain almost every summer, sometimes every other summer, up until I was like 18 or 19. And the theater, right after Franco died, specialized in playing movies that were banned by, you know, the fascist dictatorship, because now it's a constitutional monarchy. Well, anyhow, all sorts of movies played, from Clockwork Orange to Emmanuel. Emmanuel played for a full year. I snuck into it when I was 6 years old. It was amazing. Salo and 120 Days of Sodom.
Oh, yeah.
And even films that weren't necessarily controversial, like For Whom the Bell Tolls, because, you know, that dealt with Spain around that time. And it was just an amazing experience. It was kind of like Cinema Paradiso, because I used to go there all the time. I would thread the projectors. The guys would help me out. One time, I remember back in 91, I was hanging out with the projectionist, and he got a call from Pedro Almodovar because he was going to be playing High Heels the next day to make sure that, you know, all the specs were right in the theater so they could play it properly. And that was really like kind of like it was where my cinematic conscious was like bred, for lack of a better term.
That's amazing. That's really an incredible opportunity to sort of just have that be sort of bred and put into the bloodstream, essentially.
Yeah, it was amazing. And I got a glimpse of cinema that at a very young age. I mean, to see huge billboards of, you know, Sylvia Kristal naked on a hammock, and I mean, it was definitely not Star Wars, you know. And then I would be, the rest of the year, I would be in upstate New York, and I would see, you know, Star Wars, horror films, Dawn of the Dead, Jaws, all those little obsessions that, you know, your typical American moviegoer would have at that time. But it was skewered because, you know, I had this foreign influence that was just really, right. It was a mess.
I had the Z Channel in its earliest incarnations in my bedroom growing up.
That's a lot.
Yeah. And I went to the movies religiously every Sunday. Everybody else went to church or whatever the hell they did on Sunday. My dad and old man and I went to the movies, and it didn't matter what he took me to.
And I'm sorry to interrupt you, but talk to people about Z Channel, because not everybody knows what that is.
Well, I mean, there are those. Okay, Z Channel is a famous channel. Yeah. I forget the gentleman's name, the obsessive gentleman who killed himself, who ran that channel. There's a movie, a good film by Zan Cassavetes. It's a pretty good documentary.
It's amazing, yeah.
Yeah. About the Z Channel. And I had it in my bedroom. I'll never forget when I saw it. My parents told me, do not watch The Exorcist.
Right, so that's the first thing you did.
Of course I did. First thing I turn on the TV is she's masturbating with the cross.
And how old were you when you saw that?
I was about 7 or 8.
Nice.
Came walking out the bedroom going, I was pale as a ghost, you know, just white. But, you know, of course I wanted to watch it again immediately afterwards. Z Channel was a great station back in the late 70s, early 80s that played just about everything. All the Sylvia Kristal, Emmanuel films, all the Laura Antonelli films, all the any you know, everything from North Dallas 40 and Apocalypse Now and Breaking Away to
Heaven's Gate.
I mean, it played everything. To even Felix the Cat cartoons. And
that Zulawski movie I showed you the other day, The Important Thing Is to Love, yeah. I mean, that movie became known in America because of Z Channel.
Right.
Yeah.
Now let's talk a little bit about how this all manifests in your work, because I see all sorts of influences in your work. It's a kaleidoscope of things.
Which one are you talking about? Just like Kisei or...
Never Trust a Woman, Three Stories of Evil.
Three Stories About Evil.
About Evil. See, no, that title is tricky.
I know.
And I feel bad, but I just can't master it.
That's okay.
Three Stories About Evil.
About Evil.
With Mink Stole.
Which I love.
Mink Stole and Joel D'Alessandro.
Joel D'Alessandro.
Joel Gray, yeah.
Joel Gray.
Who I ran into at a barbecue restaurant in Venice.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So that's an answer to my question. Yeah.
No. What was the question?
Or do you feel that any of this plays out in your work? I think that it does.
Oh, what? Like, you know, all the stuff that I've seen in the
past. Yes.
Oh, of course. You know, I mean, we're all influenced by what we've seen. If you want to call yourself, you know, a movie maker, a filmmaker, or whatever term you want to use. You know, I mean, and like a lot of the majority of American filmmakers are influenced by things like Star Wars and George Lucas, which is cool. It's just part of their makeup. But for me, you know, it happens to be things like stuff like Emmanuel, the Dario Argento movies, Lucio Fulci. I love Michelangelo Antonioni. I mean, I got the best and the worst of high and low art. I mean, I was obsessed with it. I mean, absolutely obsessed with cinema since I was a little kid.
It's kind of a combination of William S. Burroughs' cut-up process with the mixture of this fascination with, you know, sort of underground avant-garde cult films, psychotronic films, as they like to call them, and sort of a mixture of both the high art and the low art kind of crashing together. That's what makes this film so unique.
Because Kisei was actually very funny to me, too.
Oh, I think it's hilarious.
Yeah. All of his films have a fuck sense of humor.
I mean, really, in a very disturbing way, but very, very funny.
Well, you know, Kisei and Never Trust a Woman are in a category of the type of movies that I make, which are of a almost like of a collage, where I just take footage from other films. Either they're obscure films or just films that just don't work for one way or a reason or another, and I recut them and restructure the narrative and just loop some music together, and you might love it or hate it, but you're going to watch it at least two or three times. And even the narrative films that I make are designed for you guys to watch over and over again, because you think you caught it all the first time. I guarantee you haven't caught it all on the fourth time. And I think that's important, to make films that are watched over and over and over again, because you get a bang for your buck, you know? I mean, you go and see a movie and there's so much there, and it's not obtuse. I mean, you watch it, you get it, but then if you watch it again, you get more, and then you watch it again, you get more. And the collage films are like that, because Kisei, there's so many layers of different things, whether it's narratively or visually, there, and it's wild. I mean, it's really, really wild. And Never Trust a Woman is just...
It's another. I'm not going to be completely honest.
I love it.
It's very. I mean, it very, very often. It's very not so often, I should say. I see something that I just. Every time somebody new walks into the room, I want them to immediately watch this thing. And that's with your work with Never Trust a Woman. I've already showed 100 people. And that little clip with the...
the match game. It's a promo for my website.
Drove me insane.
I demand everybody to walk in here and just immediately watch that, just so they can get the vibe of what we're doing here at the festival.
Well, don't forget to tell these people to go to www.HelsinkiProductions.com, and you can watch short web versions of all these great little thingies. But if you come to the film festival, you get to see complete versions, and it's so much more fun to watch with an audience, because you can stare at the person next to you and say, "What the fuck was that?" And you know, and not alone in your house watching it over and over again,
and pushing the borders of your sanity. That piece, the match game piece, was insane too.
I did that a week ago, like 8 days ago. Me, Charles Wright, and Sam Hill, we just sat down all day just photoshopping, cutting, and putting it together.
The selection of the people that are featured.
Well, wouldn't you watch that show?
Yes, I would.
I want to watch Indira Gandhi and Charles Manson together. Maybe sing a song.
And Jim Jones.
Yeah. Jim Jones.
And the Ayatollah. Everybody.
Yeah.
Lula Linska.
All the hot faces of the 70s.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and there's a little subliminal one frame thing.
Yes,
put in
yes,
there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
I've seen it enough, I can tell you them all.
He's all like a dad scolding his son. God damn it, kid. Why'd you do that filth, you know? That's kind of how my dad was with me. Poor guy. I put him through hell.
Now, do you really not let your parents see your films?
No, I don't.
No?
No. No. My parents are really wonderful, sweet people. They're you know, and they know that I can't let them see some of them. Sometimes I let them watch it, and they just look at me, and they're like, what the hell does that mean?
What does he do?
So they don't get it anyway. As long as I give them money, I mean, I guess everything's okay.
Oh, my gosh.
What part of upstate?
Yeah, Binghamton, where Rod Serling's from. And Binghamton's a great place. I mean, it was built on top of Indian burial ground. It always rains. There's nothing to do. It's really nasty and mean.
So are there a lot of ghosts?
And that massacre happened a few months ago, where that guy went and killed 18 people in that foreign language thing.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a great place. Come and visit.
Come and visit. Well, you know, towns that are built on burial grounds tend to have a lot of negative things happening.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you've got to be very careful.
I've seen poltergeists.
Disturbing. No, I'm not talking about poltergeists. You know? Seriously, these things do manifest.
Right.
Jerry Harvey is the guy who started the Z Channel, by the way.
Rest his soul.
Right.
Wait, what's the title of the documentary about the Z Channel, which is a great one?
It's called Z Channel.
Channel Obsession.
It's
a magnificent obsession. Right.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It is great. And the DVD also has another disc full of interviews that Miss Cassavetes couldn't squeeze into the one film. Mm. And it's great. And I mean, any movie that lauds Andre Zulowski is pretty damn cool by me. And he's one of the most underrated filmmakers there is. So.
And then who's the guy who did the Saragossa manuscript?
Oh,
the
God,
Polish filmmaker. Haas or H-A-A-S. Anyway, that's another one that
the Polish filmmakers are amazing. I mean,
right.
Jersey Skolimowski.
Yeah, right, of course.
Of course, you know, Polanski.
Right. And then Andre Vaja.
Andre Vaja is great, too.
Yeah.
I love him. He's got a new movie, so.
It's, we don't try to play it. That Kalia, K-A-Y-L-A. Yeah. Tried to get it.
So what are the dates? Now, let's talk about the dates just to be strictly commercial here. What are the dates of the screenings?
Oh, I thought.
That'll be on Wednesday the 19th.
The 19th.
August 19th. The Kisei will be the short before the feature film, The Immaculate Conception, A Little Dizzle. It's kind of a conceptual thing I put together.
Right, that works. It's a nice.
Exceptionally fucked up visions of pregnancy and birth. And then that's at 7:30. And then at 9:30 will be the Sorts Program 3, which Never Trust a Woman, which itself is a lot of fun, too. It's can I say the title of the film? That it's
yes.
And I don't know what Jane Fonda movie is that.
Rollover, which is one of the worst fucking Cindy movies Lamette. I've ever seen. No. It was Pacula.
Oh, Alan J. Pakula.
And it is one of the most lamest movies ever made.
With Chris Christopherson, right?
Yes. And he looks horrible without a beard.
Yes. I was like, wondering, what the fuck movie was that?
Looks awful.
But the other one is a movie that I recognized right away, was a John Carpenter-produced film called Eyes of a Stranger, starring the great Lauren Tews from Love Boat.
And she's delightfully coked up throughout the whole movie. You could just see it in her eyes. Makes me want to do a bump right with her, you know?
We didn't hear that we're passing out free Coke to the audience.
No, yeah. I'm taking it better, all. Yeah. And for those of you listening, I've been clean for many years, so there.
Hey, we're just joshing kids.
Hey, hands off my crack. Whatever.
So www.helsinki.com.
Yes. Helsinki Productions.
HelsinkiProductions.com.
All spelled out.
HelsinkiProductions.
No, TIONS.
I thought this was spellbound.
We'll figure it out.
Second. Yeah.
HelsinkiProductions.com.
Okie doke.
And www.dffla.com.
Mm-hmm.
Go get them tickets, because you don't want to miss the Mike Frost, who is fast becoming one of the more important filmmakers, not only in just the downtown Los Angeles art scene, but I think in the art scene in general, internationally. I think you'll be seeing a lot more of him in the grand tradition of all the satirists and avant-garde filmmakers of the past. Mike Frost is also going to be making bigger movies that are about to explode all over the scene here in the next couple of years. You'll see a lot from this young man.
I also have a PayPal account, and if you guys want to send me some money, I can make more movies, too.
I love it.
I'm serious.
Why not? Is the PayPal account information on HelsinkiProductions.com?
No, but all you have to do is write to me, Mike, at HelsinkiProductions.com. Send me
and
big
you'll work
checks.
It out.
Oh, God, yeah, you know. Sex not probable. I'm a neuter, so.
But films, yes. Mr. Mike Frost, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Have a good one.
Rock and roll.
Rock and roll.